Turn in your Bibles to Acts chapter 8, if you would, and I want to preach, if I can, on the place that human instrumentality has in evangelism. We seem to talk quite a bit about that today, but there's no doubt that God does use human instrumentality in bringing people to himself. And there's a proper place for that, and there's a wrong place. And in verse 26, of course, you know it's concerning Philip's ministry. Philip was a deacon, one of the seven deacons. And later it refers to him as Philip the Evangelist. But he was not one of the 12 or something, but he and I know the Bible records that both Philip and Stephen were preachers. They're deacons, but they're preachers and powerful preachers. Stephen was such a powerful preacher that they killed him. But I would say that in hell, those that went to hell over that still ringing in their ears what he said and will for eternity. Of course, Paul witnessed that and God saved him. And used, no doubt, Philip's testimony to bring Paul under conviction. And because he said that, you know, later on, more or less. But I want to drop down to the 26th verse and pick up this account of Philip's ministry. And the angel of the Lord spake unto Philip. You know, it's interesting how many times in the Bible that God speaks. I've never had God speak to me audibly, but he spoke to me in languages. It's plain, it's more plain if he spoke to me audibly. There is a communication between the Spirit of God and the regenerate spirit of a person.
Amen.
And it's clear. I mean, God can tell you. So here it says the angel or the messenger of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, go toward the south, unto the way that goeth down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. And he arose and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch, of great authority under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had the charge of all her treasure, and had come to Jerusalem for to worship, was returning and sitting in his chariot, and read Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, see, there's the God speaking again. Then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest thou what thou readest? And he said, how can I except some man guide me? There's the work of human instrumentality, a guide. That's what we are to people. I know we talk about soul winning, leading souls to Jesus. We're a guide. It's the Spirit of God. I'll show you that directly. That does bring in God. But he uses human instrumentality to guide. So he said, how can I except some should guide me? Some man should guide me. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And the place of the scripture which he read was this. He was led as a sheep to the slaughter and like a lamb dumb before his shearers. So he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, his judgment was taken away. And who shall declare his generation? For his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee, of whom speaketh the prophet, this of himself, or son of the man? Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came unto a certain water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What doeth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip said, if thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And he commanded the chariot to stand still. And they went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught away Philip, that the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip was found at Azotus, and passing through, he preached in all the cities till he came to Caesarea. Our Father, we pray this afternoon you'll help us. I know afternoon service after lunch sometime we're a little dull, both the preacher and the hearers. But I pray, Lord, you'd help us to get from this what we need. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Now, a few things kind of introductory, and then we'll get in. But you notice here, it was the Holy Spirit that was leading Philip, step by step. Comes right back. See, there's two things said that we should not do to the Holy Spirit. Well, it may be more than that, but two to Christians. Unbelievers can blaspheme the Holy Spirit, and that's usually the end of them. But the Bible said, grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption. That's Ephesians 4:30. Now, to grieve the Holy Spirit is to sin. Sin grieves the Holy Spirit. I mean, it may seem like little sins, innocent sins, but it grieves him. And as a result of that, it often breaks our fellowship. We lose fellowship with him. But then it says, quench not the Spirit, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Now, if you look at that word quench, one of the definitions given in Strong's is it means to like putting out a fire. To quench the Holy Spirit is to ignore him. And most of the time, people ignore the Holy Spirit. That is, he's in their life, but they ignore his influence. Why? Because they are so carried away with their own selves and with the world. I would say this year, while Kentucky basketball was going on, the Holy Spirit didn't get much attention from anybody in Kentucky. I realize you won't get on that. That's a golden calf, but in Kentucky. There's a place, folks, for it, but we should never ignore the Holy Spirit for anything.
Amen.
You can, without the Holy Spirit, you can do nothing.
That's right.
Now, you may find some fun. I used to like that. But you know what? It was like eating cotton candy. When it's over, there wasn't nothing to take home with you. Did y'all ever eat cotton candy? Tastes good, but ain't a thing to take home with you. It don't fill you up, don't do nothing. I guess all it does is give you a good taste. Well, that's about all sports is good for. For the moment, it's exciting, but when it's over with, what do you got to take home with you? Nothing.
That's right.
But see, what I'm saying, we ought to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit and not quench him, not put out his influence in our life. Because we're not only sinning against him, but we're really sinning against ourselves. See, the Bible tells us in Acts chapter 1 and verse number 2, Luke being the writer of this and also the Gospel Luke, the human penman, he said, the former treaties have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began both to do and to teach until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he through the Holy Ghost hath given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Jesus today is still giving commands through the Holy Spirit. If you want to know anything about what God wants you to do, you better keep the line of communications open between you and the Holy Spirit that lives within your heart. Because if Jesus speaks to you, he'll speak to you through the Holy Spirit and the Word. And they'll always agree. Always agree. Holy Spirit is the one that led the penman to write this book. So you got the unity of the Godhead. You can't divide the Godhead.
Right.
In other words, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are one. You can't divide the essence, and you don't want to compound the personalities. Because there are three distinct personalities. It's completely harmonious. Somebody said, explain that to me. If I could, I'd write a book. But I can't. But that's what the scriptures teach, so I believe it. I don't have any trouble with it. That the triunity of the Godhead.
Amen.
So here, The Bible says even today that the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ, is still giving commandments to his church through the Holy Spirit. Well, I read this morning, I think I did, in Acts 13. I may have not. Yeah, I think I used that when I was talking about my missionary ministry. And did you ever notice in that reading, they were praying, those different teachers and apostles, and the Holy Ghost said, choose, separate, set apart for me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I've called them. Who called them? The head of the church through the Holy Spirit. And so if they hadn't have been sensitive to him, they wouldn't have known who to set apart. And if you don't think that that made a difference, Barnabas added his nephew about three or four verses down, Mark, to go with him. And what happened? They had a failure. Now, Mark was a good man, fine young man, but he wasn't part of that team. God didn't put him on that team. His uncle Barnabas put him on that team, and it didn't work. I've seen so many churches handed down from father to son that never worked. Just because you have a son in the ministry, it does not mean he's the one the Holy Spirit wants to succeed you in the ministry. But a lot of times it works that way, and most of the time it doesn't help the church or the person they put in. Now, another thing, and I'm just kind of introductory here. I'll get into the message in a minute. But verse 32 of chapter 5, this is Peter and the other apostles answering the Sanhedrin. And they said, and him hath God exalted with his right hand, verse 31, to be a prince and a savior, to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sin. And we are his witnesses of these things. And so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. What I'm trying to say to you, we've got cheated by the charismatics and the Pentecostal movement until we're afraid of the Holy Spirit. We're afraid somebody's going to say they're acting like Pentecostals down there. And so therefore we somewhat quench the Holy Spirit because we're afraid of labels. But here Peter and the apostles said, we're witnesses of his resurrection, these things, and so also is the Holy Ghost. Now, I believe this. I believe in personal evangelism. The Holy Spirit speaks to the heart, and we speak to the ears. I can't speak to the heart, and you can't either.
Right.
But I'll tell you one thing. Until you have that combination, it don't ever work.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
See, we become the mouthpiece. Like it said, the Holy Ghost spoke by the mouth of David. God, the Holy Ghost is still speaking by the mouth of his people. Did you know the church is the only body he's got to work through?
Amen.
We don't have any other one. I know our bodies are a temple of the Holy Ghost, but collectively the Holy Spirit works through the church.
Amen.
And so therefore, when you go out to witness to a sinner, that's why we need to be led of the Holy Spirit. And he'll lead you to the one he's working on. And when you get there, you'll find out he's working on that heart while you're trying to work on his hearing. I've found that so many times. God would impress me to go see somebody. And sometimes I'd be kind of afraid to do it. I think, Lord, they ain't going to listen to me. But when I went down there, I'd find every time he is working on the other end. I don't even remember a time when I really felt impressed of God to go that I didn't get a pretty good reception when I got there. Because God is already disturbing their heart when you got there. So we see this here, and let me just give you a few things here, and I'll not be long this afternoon. About Philip. Now, the Lord told Philip to go to the south, down to a desert place. I mean, most of us Baptist preachers wouldn't like that, would we? Go to a desert place. Here you're up here having a great revival, all kind of people been saved there in Samaria, and all of a sudden the Lord tells you, said, you go down, there's a desert place I want you to go. Pretty dry down there. But Philip obeyed immediately and went. And when he got there, what did he find? He found an Ethiopian eunuch, a man under great authority, in his chariot, traveling back to Ethiopia, and under, no doubt, deep conviction, because this was Pentecost time, and he'd been up there, no doubt had heard preaching and heard that Jesus Christ, the Messiah, had come and they had crucified him. He rose again. And so all he had was the Old Testament. And so he's reading in Isaiah 53. And Philip heard him reading. And the Spirit of God said, go join yourself to that chariot. You remember, he's going to join himself to a chariot of a pretty influential man. One that probably had charge of all the treasury of this country of Ethiopia. I think he was a Jew. I think he's one of the Jews of dispersion, because the Jews usually found prominent places. They were trustworthy. They were smart. But anyway, whatever that is there. And so the Spirit said, you go join yourself to that chariot. And so Philip obeys him. The man was returning in his chariot and reading Isaiah the prophet. Isn't that something? He'd been up to the synagogue, but he left unsaved, nobody to tell him. Boy, a lot of people go to church and leave lost because there ain't nobody there to tell them how. Strange how many churches anymore have gotten so liberal they wouldn't know how to tell a sinner. They'd be scared to death if one come under conviction. Amen. They wouldn't know how to handle him. But anyway, verse 29, then the Spirit said unto Philip, go near and join thyself to the chariot. And Philip ran. I like that. Boy, I mean, he obeyed like that. That's what we ought to do. I mean, the moment God speaks to us, we ought to obey him. And he obeyed him. And then the Spirit said unto Philip, go join thyself to the chariot. And Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah and said, understandest what thou readest? Do you understand that passage? And the Ethiopian eunuch was very, very honest. And he said in verse 31, he said, how can I except some man should guide me? That's a dilemma of a number of people. And it's the Holy Spirit's business to get somebody there to tell them. He said, I cannot understand. I don't know. He said, is he talking about himself? Is the prophet Isaiah talking about himself? Or is he talking about somebody else? He was totally confused as to what that passage meant. And Jews are still, Orthodox Jews are still confused about it. They don't believe Jesus was the Messiah. They believe Jesus was a good teacher, but he was not the Messiah. So they're still looking for the first coming of the Messiah. We're looking for the second coming. Amen. So he said, how can I? How in the world can I understand? I don't know. I don't know what he's talking about himself or talking about some other man. Then you notice this. He said, except some man guide me. Here's our part in it. I never could go for this thing to go out and find someone that had no interest and aggravate them till they prayed a prayer. Amen. Just to get rid of you. You'd never see them at church.
Right.
I mean, some people agree with you to get rid of you. And I've seen some fellas that were so strong they about had to, or either throw them out bodily. That's foolishness. If the Holy Ghost is working on it, you put it down. He'll have an ear to hear.
Right.
I remember getting one night, it was a fellow, I guess he had some family troubles or something, but he told a friend of his he wanted me to come see him, and me and a deacon went to see him, and he was ready to agree to anything. And he wanted to pray, and we did, and he acted like he got some. We got back out to the car. The deacon said to me, so what do you think about it? I said, I don't think he got a thing. He wasn't looking for a thing. He's looking for a way out of his trouble. And I'll tell you what, I have never seen him since. He never came to church. No. But when the Holy Spirit guides somebody, uses him as a guide, then he's working on the other end. And he desired Philip. that he would come up and sit with him. See, there wasn't no struggle between him and Philip. Why, God had put a desire in his heart to know, and he put a desire in Philip's heart to go down and deal with him. And when you have that, brother, you'll have a conversion. But I'm afraid we're not sensitive enough to the Holy Spirit. And he sometimes gets somebody else. Of course, I don't know about that either. But somebody said that the late Wilbur Johnson was preaching somewhere. And he said, I've heard him say all these years, if you don't do your job, God will get somebody else. He said, I asked Jonah about that. And Jonah said there wasn't a word of truth in it. He'll make you willing to do it. but Philip ran there and he's reading the prophet, and he said, except some man guide me here. And the place where there's reading, of course, was he was led as a sheep to the slaughter, Isaiah 53, and like a lamb dumb before his shearers, opened not his mouth in his humiliation, his judgment was taken away, and who shall declare his generation, for his life is taken from the earth. And the eunuch answered Philip and said, I pray thee. In other words, there was an urgency there. I pray thee, I request of thee, of whom speaketh the prophet this, of himself or some other man. Then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Sometimes they accuse people that believe like I do of not wanting to witness. I love to witness. But God didn't call me to be a salesman.
Yeah. Right.
He called me to be a witness.
Right.
I used to, when I started out, I've been all over the board. And I used to go to these meetings, sword meetings, and some of the rest of them, you know, and they're going to teach you how to do it. And their whole idea was you go in and kind of trick people.
Yeah.
And I had been trained by Metropolitan Life Insurance Company, and they had a good training program. They took me to Memphis with some others and put us up in a nice hotel, give us a big expense account. Country boy like me never had nothing like that before, you know. And they told us how important we was, and I was fool enough to believe it for a while. But anyway, they taught us all the Madison Avenue tactics. And one of the things they said, now when you go in the house, find something in common and you compliment it. You know, it's a beautiful picture of the children, or it's this or that. And in selling, that's not too bad. And they were teaching that same thing for soul winning. And I told some fellas, I said, the only problem you got, I said, selling an insurance policy is one thing. All I got to do is get them to agree to put their name on that thing and give me a premium, and I got a sale. But I said, it's different with this. I'm dealing with dead people.
Amen.
And I can't raise them from the dead. I knew that, and I wasn't even a two-pointer maybe then. I guess I was what somebody calls a whiskey Calvinist, one-fifth. I believed in security. You can't really believe in security without believing the rest of it. You really can't. If you do, then you're dependent on your own self and your own will to keep you there. But see, it all, when you get into the system of grace, it all lays on Jesus. Nothing lays on us. As far as saving us and keeping us, sure, we have responsibilities. But anyway, I knew that stuff wasn't right. And I remember some of those meetings, some of those fellas had come out of them, their coattails standing straight out there, so excited. Remind me, that's what you used to do at sales meetings. I mean, they'd put it on you. You felt like you wanted to sell 10 policies before you got home, you know. But that wore off pretty quick. But they'd do that. And I said, that stuff ain't right. I knew that from my own experience. There's no such thing as that could happen. So Philip opened his mouth, and that's the part of the guide. Opened his mouth and answered and said, eunuch answered Philip, said, then Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. Now, what did the Ethiopian want to know? Who was Isaiah talking about? He's talking about Jesus. So here's the guide. What he was doing was guiding him to Jesus. He said Isaiah was talking about Jesus, the one that come and the one that was crucified, the one that was buried, the one that rose again, the one that ascended in heaven. That's who he's talking about. Mm-hmm. That's our work. And I'm telling you, I don't care where it is, if you all get sensitive enough, really get to praying, you'll find out that God will start leading some folks in here. And they'll start leading you to some people. I don't think door knocking in the book of Acts was like it's portrayed a lot. I don't think there's going along trying to win everybody through the screen door. I think there's preaching from house to house. In those days, they didn't have a church building. They either had to meet down at the temple or they met in homes. Now, I'm for witnessing. There's no wrong person to witness to. But if there's nothing going on inside, you put it down, you're not going to lead them to the Lord. Because they're dead in sins and trespasses, and they're not. You may get them to agree to something, but you won't, as they use the term, get saved. But I don't like that term either. You don't get saved. God saves you.
Amen.
A lot of difference in that. And if you can get saved, well, then that's works. But if God saves you, that's grace. But anyway, Philip opened his mouth, began the same scripture, preaching to Jesus. And as they went on their way, they came to a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doeth hinder me to be baptized?" This was effective evangelism. You say, "Will that work today?" It sure will.
Amen.
But you'll have to get your mind off Kentucky Wildcats. Football and basketball. I don't mean by that you believe, but you can't be concentrating on that stuff. Or the Tennessee Titans or anything else. Jesus is number one or he's nothing.
That's right.
So he said, "I'll pray the Father and the Father will send you another comforter. And when he comes, he'll abide with you." How'd you like to be in somebody's house and they ignored you? They just went on doing everything else, just ignored you. I don't think it'd be long. I'd pack up and leave. I'd get the idea that I wouldn't welcome. Of course, the Holy Spirit ain't going to leave us. But can you imagine what an insult? That we let our minds run on these little old tracks of things. All that stuff's going to pass away. Of course, I didn't see Kentucky play anything because all I had is a computer. I may have could have picked it up on it. I didn't try to, but I would read and I could tell. Isn't that something? Basketball coach paid $6.5 million a year and the governor's paid $200,000-$300,000. He's important, isn't he? That ought to make the governor feel real good, you know. But, you know, it's just what I'm saying is sports have come to an absolute foolish place. It's taken a foolish place, especially in God's people's hearts. And to say that, I'm not preaching against those things necessarily. But here's the important thing. Don't you know there's some great joy in Philip's heart that the Holy Ghost would use him?
Amen.
Pretty simple. All he had to do is go where the Holy Spirit told him to. Get in that chariot like he told him to. Listen to the reading of the scripture and ask the question, do you understand what you're reading? And then just open the scriptures and show him he's reading about Jesus. You don't have to learn a bunch of complicated stuff. Not if you're following the Lord. I hear this term. I heard it Friday. And I don't like it. Well, I'll tell you what you got to do. You got to get them lost before they get saved. You can't get them lost.
Yeah.
Man's born lost to start with, but I know what they're talking about. You know what makes you really conscious of being lost? It's when the Holy Spirit settles in on your soul.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amen.
And I'm going to tell you, it becomes serious business.
That's right.
No, our business is to follow him and to preach the gospel. That man knew he's lost. That's why he's reading the scriptures. But he didn't know what to do about it. Is Isaiah talking about somebody, talking about himself or somebody else? He's talking about Jesus. And evidently, whatever Philip said to him about Jesus, it must have worked because here he asked Philip. He said, "Here's water. What doeth hinder me from being baptized?" Philip said, "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. I believe he's the Messiah," is what he's saying. "I believe that one that came and was crucified by the Sanhedrin, the Roman soldiers, put in a tomb, rose again, ascended. I believe he's the Son of God." Philip commanded the chariot and it stopped. Then he went down into the water. That's a Baptist baptism.
Amen.
And he buried him there in the likeness of Christ's death and raised him in the likeness of his glorious resurrection.
Amen.
And the Bible said that the Spirit caught Philip away and the Ethiopian went on his way rejoicing. I imagine he went the rest of that way. I don't know how far it was to Ethiopia sitting in that chariot. But oh, I bet his tune was different. I bet he was praising God and having a good time.
Amen.
He probably got back to Ethiopia and somebody said, "What in the world happened to you?"
Amen.
Oh, he said, "I met a man."
Right, amen.
And he made my life different. And I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't share that with a few people when he got down there.
Amen.
A lot of those Jews, he probably showed him that same passage of scripture. Related that same experience of that. Folks, that wasn't just for that day. It's for this day.
Amen.
If we get sensitive with the Lord and we're willing to really pray and to fellowship and to put our minds. See, the Bible said, set your affections on things above. You can't have your affections on two things. You can't have your affections on something below and something above too. Set your affections on things above, not on things below. As the preacher said a while ago, everything you can see and touch here will pass away with a fervent heat, be gone. Paul said that right into the Corinthians. Look on those things. The things you can look on and see now, they're temporal. But the things that you can't see, they're eternal.